It's Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, Adventure. Later on, from the John Steele Adventurer program from 1950. But first, an episode of the Hollywood Star Playhouse called Of Night and the River, an all-star CBS cast from October 9th, 1950.
Now, Mr. Joseph Cotton on the Bromo Seltzer Hollywood Star Playhouse. Bromo Seltzer presents Hollywood Star Playhouse. Tales of suspense, thrills, adventure by Hollywood's finest writers with Hollywood's top stars. Portions of this program are transcribed and is brought to you by Bromo Seltzer, the fast, effective headache help which reminds you to
fight headache three ways. Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Herbert Rawlinson. Welcome to the Bromo Seltzer Hollywood Star Playhouse. Listen carefully to tonight's play, for there is a dark river in our story, and a dark current flowing forever to a shrouded sea. A dark current and an undercurrent. This is a story of greed and hate and of savage men. Of a terrible chase in which the end is a river, a nightmare of flight and pursuit. This is an essay on terror. This is Joseph Cotton as Harry Croft, the fugitive in Of Night and the River.
Tying me up in this chair is as far as they'll go. Banner and Scarf and Chimp, they just won't do it, not to me. Grissom, yes. Loot, Lowry, sure. They'd do it to them. They did it to them. But I'm different. And I don't know where the diamonds are. They'll believe me. They've got to believe me. I've got to stay awake. I've got to make sense or I'm done for. That stuff they gave me. To make me talk just made me sleepy. And I've got to keep my wits about me. I don't want to happen to me what happened to Grissom and Loot. Loot! Oh, I covered him right up to the top of the barrel with that cement. Oh, that's an awful way to... They're coming back now. Here they come. Steady, Croft. Steady.
Close the door, Chimp.
All right. Don't just stand there looking at me. Say something. Ask me questions. I got the answers. I got nothing to hide.
Same old fool questions, Croft. What happened to the Imbrie necklace?
I never had it.
Same fool question, same fool answer.
The truth.
Persuade him, Fanner. Yeah, go ahead. Persuade him.
Shut up, Chimp. Croft. How many people would you say there are in the world?
How many?
Roughly.
How many people? I don't know.
College man.
I never counted them.
Never counted them, boy.
You're joking. You're kidding. What's the gag?
Croft, there are in round numbers about 2,400,000,000 people in the world.
Yeah.
In a crowd like that, you'd never be missed.
Look, and I'm telling you, I never knew whether...
Once more, Croft, and only once more. The Imbrie diamond...
I told you I haven't got them, old lady. Imbrie still has them for all I know now. Get these ropes off me and let's get on to a little business.
Chimp.
Yeah, Chief?
I really think this should be a Dutch door job. Open on top, closed on the bottom.
I got me a brand new washtub right outside.
Washtub?
The Scarf. You help Chimp with those bags of cement.
No, Fanny, no. I won't stand for it.
Hold it, boys. Croft says he won't stand for it.
Oh, Croft.
Yes, mon ami, yes, stand
for it. Oh, you're joking.
It's a dirty night, Croft. There's a cold yellow fog on the river. Even your soul, Croft, would get soaked to the middle in that dirty yellow fog.
Oh, cut it. Stop,
Not that your soul wouldn't come out a lot cleaner even in that filth.
You're crazy.
It has a smell, the fog. It smells yellow and wormy. It smells yellow. It sounds dirty yellow. I want you to hear it.
Oh, close it. Close the window. Close.
Listen to the dead river, Croft. Listen to the boats. The weird boats on the weird yellow river. The barges on the River Lethe. The river of hell.
Oh.
Now listen.
It's enough, Fanny. Close it.
You won't stand for it, Croft?
Please. Fanny, please. I'm pleading with you. I'm begging. Is that any good? Is that what you want? Begging?
You'll stand for it. Nothing to do but stand. You stand in the tub, and the brethren here pour in the cement. And when it's solid enough, we take you down to the river. You go down, standing up, straight down. The water cold, the water crushing, your head bursting, the water black, crushing the air out of you. Oh, you'll stand for it, Croft. You'll stand a long time, swaying with the tide. Way down.
No.
Foul night and the fouled river. Night and the river.
No, please.
Darkness and then the flood. And then nothing.
Fanny, don't do it.
Jim.
I'm crawling, Fanny. I'm crawling
Jim,
to you.
Scar.
No, Fanny, no.
You
no,
better
no.
get the stuff.
This can't be happening. Not to me. It's a dream, an awful dream, a nightmare. It can't be happening. The river out there, Chimp on one side of me in the car, Scarf with that dead smile on his face on the other side, Fanner up front driving. It's not happening. The river, the ride, the tub of hot cement hugging my legs. It can't be. Think. I've got to think. Get out of this if it kills me. Die, yes, but not that way. The dirty black river. Think. Oh, it's wet out. Chimp and Scarf, no, I can't do much with cement halfway up to my knees. They're just sitting there, arms folded, no guns out. Anyhow, Scarf never carries a gun. He strangles with that white scarf of his. No guns then. So, if I stood up and reached over fast and wrapped my arms around Fanner's throat and pulled, he'd let go of the wheel. Yes, I'll wait. Wait till we take the curve in the dark street, then I'll do it. Throw us into a skid. Yes.
Croft, you wonder why I, a cultivated person, master's degree and all that, you wonder why I'm doing this to you?
He's paralyzed. He ain't wondering anything.
Hasn't that shot we slipped you worn off, Croft?
Dirt. Filth, that's what you are. Filth and corruption.
That's singularly correct, Croft. But consider
You're crazy.
You're only one of the thousands who die momentarily, bitterly, in squalor and defeat. You're only one more victim of the beast, Croft. And the beast, my dear Croft, is man. Man, the ape in armor, inflicting mindless pain and stupid death. You're a casualty of life, Croft, of the world neurosis. And we are all casualties.
You're talking crazy because you are crazy. Fanny, if you'd only wait until this goes away, you wouldn't be doing this to me.
You're quite right, Croft. I am crazy.
He learned it in college, chum.
We'll be there soon.
Hey, you want to watch out in the next turn at the bad one, wet.
Thank you.
It goes more thick, the fog.
Yeah, Frenchie. It grows more thick, the fog. Getting pretty cold.
Yeah.
What's that curve now, Chief?
Yes. Watch that curve. Then stand up, arms around Fanner's neck, and pull. Pull him off the wheel, skid the car. Casualty, huh? They'll see. Soon. Almost. Now. Casualty, huh?
Casualty!
I'll show you.
Get him
casualty.
Off the Casualty! Look out!
Oh, still, very still, very dark. Rain. I think I'm all right. Yes, not too bad. For 100 pounds of cement wrapped around your legs, you don't get thrown far. The others, I don't know. Dark and still. Only, I know this, yes. I know this all right. The cement around my legs is broken off. I can move my legs. I can stand up. There's still a gob of cement hobbling my left leg, but I can walk. I can walk.
Doc.
Fanner. Fanner's alive.
Doc, are you all right?
Yes. All right, dear.
Are you all right?
Bloody head. Nothing broken, though. Do you?
Right off. I pulled it badly.
Escape. I must escape.
Gone. Dead.
Jim? What about Gorp?
We'll find him.
No. No, never. Run. Escape. Run, boy. Run.
That would be our good friend Croft now. Thinking he can escape the river.
It's no use. No use. I can't run with this. That's on my foot. I've got to rest. Sit here. Rest.
Croft, old friend. Croft.
Old friend.
No use, you know. That lump of cement is scratching a flare pad everywhere you go.
Oh, what'll I do? What'll I do?
Oh, Croft!
Run. Escape. How? Closer. Closer.
Ah! It's no use, you know.
Run! Run! Run!
It's no use, old boy. Give up.
Oh, he's farther off.
Hey!
I've lost them. They don't think I could have got across the railroad tracks ahead of the train. They think I'm still on the wrong side of the tracks.
Over,
oh, hey! Lost them. I've lost them. I'm safe. I'm in the clear. I'm okay now. I'm in the clear. Oh, no. Go away. Go away. Please, dog. Go away. Go away. I don't want to fight that. Down, dog. Please. Oh, I'll kill you.
Stop. That dog near you.
No. I'll kill you, dog.
Get him.
Friend. Dog is man's best. Oh, run. Run. Hurry.
Croft.
Let me in.
What's happened? You're all bruised and bleeding.
Let me sit down. Chair.
Here. Sit here. What's that on your foot?
It's cement.
Fanner?
Yes, Fanner. Chisel. Have you got a chisel? A hammer.
I've got a good hammer. No chisel.
Oh, heavy screwdriver, then. Hurry up. Oh, he's crazy, that man. He's crazy.
The river?
Night in the river. Yes, the river.
I've got it. Him, that education of his and hating the world and everybody in it.
Except you, huh?
Here's the hammer and the screwdriver.
Now, chip this cast off.
He after you now?
Yes. I got Chimp. Chimp's dead. One down.
Is it about the Embry necklace?
Yes.
Did you tell them where it was? Answer me, Harry. Harry, look at me. Look at me, I said.
Louise.
Drop those tools or I'll shoot. I want to know where the diamonds are, Harry.
You too. Everybody.
Better tell me where the diamonds are, Harry. Or so help me... So help me, I'll give you back to Fanna and the river.
Bromo Seltzer, famous for fast headache help, is bringing you Hollywood Star Playhouse. Tonight, starring Mr. Joseph Cotton in Of Night and the River.
Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo
Seltzer. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? How do you do? This is your old friend Norman Brokenshire. You know, neighbors, an ordinary little headache can often spoil a big day for some people. No need to, though. When Bromo Seltzer fights a headache so fast, all three ways, yes, sir, you get fast relief from that headache with Bromo Seltzer. At the same time, too, Bromo Seltzer will soothe the upset stomach and the jumpy nerves that may team up with that headache. What's more, you'll like the pleasant taste of Bromo Seltzer. It's so sparkling, so refreshing. Neighbors, do me a favor. Next time you get a headache, give Bromo Seltzer a trial. Try it on this guarantee. You must be satisfied or your money back. You'll see, where others fail, Bromo Seltzer works. Bromo Seltzer is on sale at all drugstore fountains and counters. Don't for a minute be bothered with a headache. Get fast, pleasant, three-way help with
Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
Now, Act Two of Night and the River, starring Mr. Joseph Cotton.
Who is it?
Fanna.
Louise, don't let...
Come in.
Congratulations, Louise.
He came up here for a hammer and chisel, and I put my gun on him.
Good work, Louise.
Good work, Louise. She was trying to double-cross you. She wanted the stones for herself, and she'd have crossed you for them. Good work, Louise.
Shut up, Cross.
You don't believe it, do you? You don't believe, Louise, your lily girl would cross you. Well, I'll tell you
what... Shut up!
Oh! That's my chance. That slap is my chance. The gun is limp in his hurt hand, and I go in under the good arm and grab for the bad one and the gun, and I can't reach it. For a terrible second, I can't reach it. It's like a dream again, a bad dream, a horrible nightmare. And then I've got it. At last, I've got the gun, and if it is a nightmare, it's theirs now. The scare's on them. Stand where you are, Scott. Drop that gun at my feet, lily girl. Now, all of you go to different corners of the room.
You're going to shoot us all in the back, Croft? Is that the idea?
No, Fanner. This is very good. I'm going to pick up this gun of Louise's. Then I drop it in the dead center of the table here. Now, go to different corners of the room, the three of you. Walk! You're all the same distance from the gun. And that gives me time to get out of here. First one of you to the gun eliminates all other claims to the diamonds.
You scum!
Why don't you just shoot us all, Croft?
I've got every rap in the world on me, except murder.
There's no escape, Croft. We are all foredoomed, and escape is an illusion. You are marked by your fate. You can't escape. We're all marked. And the brand of Cain and the mark of the beast is on us all, and we shall die. And the dark river will cover us all. We shall die.
Escape craft is a dream. It's too late.
You are crazy.
An escape craft. Try.
I'm going to back out of the room. No one move. No one move until I'm gone. Then race for the gun. Survivor becomes my partner in diamonds, okay? Go! I run down the stairs. I float. I fly with strange lightness and elation. My foot is free. I'm free. At the bottom of the stairs, I stop for a second. Carefully, I slip into the wet, musty night smelling of the nearby wharves. I haven't the diamonds, but I know where to get them. There's a party at the Ember Mansion tonight, and I'll get the diamonds all right, and then get rid of the survivor upstairs, whoever it is. Oh, it's a dream, all right. Now.
Stop where you are.
Who's that? Who's there?
The survivor.
Scarf.
Put your hands up in the air.
We're partners now, Scarf.
Your hands up, Corp.
All right.
I will trouble you for your gun now. Thank you. Now, where is the neck?
I haven't got it.
Try again.
I said I haven't got it.
You would be very wise not to lie.
I came here to get it myself.
You lie. The woman does not have the necklace. I was just in there. I got here before you for that necklace. The contemptible woman did not have the stones. Even as I was strangling her with my scarf, she denied the stone.
You killed her?
With my scarf. In the Apache way. I strangled.
You think I have the stones? I haven't.
You admit that you came here to get them. Even dying, the woman swore she didn't have them, that they were stolen. Stolen, Cole. You stole them.
I just came here.
The diamonds, if you please.
I don't have them, I tell you.
You're a liar.
We can't go through all this again. I'm not lying. What good would the stones be to me if I'm sunk in the river or dead in the cypresses here? Don't be a fool, Scott.
Croft, you see this gun here in my hand?
You shoot, you'll never get off the ground. There are police all over.
But who talks of shooting? Death. I throw the gun into the darkness. This, my white scarf, is silent and...
No.
You are white in the darkness, eh?
Keep away.
Do you want to die? Do you want your eyes to stick out of your head? Do you want your tongue to go purple in your
scarf.
Mouth?
Scarf,
eh?
Got to listen to me.
An end to this
scarf.
Life.
Now, wait.
No more talk.
No.
You bastard. Silent.
No. Joking. I suddenly realized the truth. I tried to tell Scarf. No use. Too late. Joking. Oh, the truth is, Fanna. Fanna must have had the diamonds all the time. Fanna double-crossing all of us. Oh. Then I realized something else. This is a dream. After all, everything proves it. Oh. The terrible events of the night, my weakness and reaching for Fanner's gun, the way I floated down the steps from that room, my trying to scream and only a croak coming out now. This choking, all nightmare, already dying. I feel myself waking, dying, waking up. Waking up. I wake up. I open my eyes. Oh, relief. Overwhelming relief that this awful dream is over. Relief.
Away?
Huh?
Away?
Scarf.
What's the matter, Dope? Don't you get to sleep nights?
Jim. Jim was killed in the crash.
We're almost there.
Fanna.
Now.
Fanna driving the car. The river.
Almost there now.
I look down slowly at my feet. I have no feet. They're deep. Deep in cement, 100 pounds. 100 pounds of sinker clutching at my legs. Oh, nightmare. It was a nightmare, all right. It was a dream, but it began too late. It began after they had me. Oh, the river. Nightmare.
Night and the river. The fate man makes for himself.
Nightmare without awakening.
Get him out, boys.
No.
Hey, what are you doing?
Fanna, the cops.
The river police. Hurry up, get rid of Crow.
Now, Fanna, please. No. Shoot! Help! Murder! Shoot! Let him have it! Let him have it!
Hurry up, Scott! Keep his head!
Shoot! Keep it up! Help!
Let him have it.
I'll drag you in myself, Croft.
No. Banner, give up, Banner. You're hit. Give up.
Night and
no.
Forever.
No, Banner, don't.
Don't. No. No.
Joe, that was really a suspenseful performance. Thank you very much.
Well, Herb, this is the kind of show I really like to do. But please don't forget Hans Conried, who played the part of Fanny. Thanks, Hans.
Joseph Cotten can currently be seen in the RKO motion picture Walk Softly, Stranger, co-starring Valley. Tonight's play was written especially for Mr. Cotton by Milton Geiger, with music composed and conducted by Jeff Alexander. The entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. And now this is Herbert Rawlinson saying goodnight for all of us here on the Hollywood Star Playhouse and for Bromo Seltzer, the fast, effective headache help in the familiar blue bottle.
The Hollywood Star Playhouse, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 9th of October 1950 on CBS. A year before, star Joseph Cotten was on the silver screen in what is often voted the best motion picture of all time in the role of Holly Martins in The Third Man, alongside Orson Welles. In the year of that broadcast we just heard, 1950, he was in three motion pictures, among them the noir, Walk Softly, Stranger, where Third Man co-star Alida Valli was his female lead once again, and this picture marked the third and fifth of comedian Jack Parr's movie career before moving on to The Tonight Show in 1957. This is an hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Now time for a broadcast of John Steele, Adventurer, called The Honorable Ones. This episode first heard on Mutual in 1950.
John Steele, Adventurer.
Hello, friends. This is John Steele. Most of us at one time or another in our lives have had to face a hard decision. Our story this week concerns a man who faced a cruel choice to break the only promise he'd ever sworn to keep, or to sacrifice the lives of those who depended on him. I call this yarn The Honorable Ones. They say the path of least resistance leads to destruction. Maybe that's part of the reason James Guilford tossed over what might have been a brilliant career as a brain surgeon and ended up in China with a reputation no one would want pinned on him. It began a short time after the Chinese Communist Army captured Hankow. Some Americans and Europeans had stayed on in the city for various reasons, mostly business. But Jim Guilford didn't have their connections and got pushed around. That, combined with what he saw going on and wasn't able to do anything about, made him hate the new People's Republic. So when he heard a rumor that an American was flying out to Japan, he pulled the few strings he had and got himself passage. Jim thought that maybe getting back to the States would help him pull himself together and enable him to make a fresh start. The plane took off just before dawn. To his surprise, several other people were huddled on the floor in the pitch-black cabin. Jim recognized their names as those of popular business people in the international sector.
Well, feel better now we're underway, right, Benny?
Yeah, Pete.
Lots of good contacts washed down the drain, though.
Like losing your lifeblood, huh?
Nah, salesmen are just like your reporters. We soon develop new ones wherever we go. Right, Mr. Tillman?
Well, that's always a talent I look for, Mr. Bigger.
But seldom signed.
No, dear.
Well, it's true.
Certainly was a lucky break getting this plane out.
I wonder how it was managed.
Influence, I suppose.
Oh, I heard some of the big shots are bought off.
When you called me, Pete, and told me about it, I didn't think there was a chance.
Told you it was a sure thing, didn't I?
Yes, but when we had to give our names and occupations to the officials, I figured that was curtains for betting.
Why?
They don't like American reporters.
They don't like any of us, right, fella? Hey, mister.
Me?
Yeah.
What's that?
They don't like any of us, right?
Yeah.
What's your name?
You don't know me.
Well, what is it?
James.
First or last?
Doesn't matter.
don't know anyone named James in Hancock, except...
Pete thinks he should know everyone there.
Paid off, didn't it?
Yeah.
What's your line, Jim?
Nothing much, no.
Retire?
Yeah, in a way.
You are very fortunate.
Oh!
What's the matter, dear?
This plane,
Oh, but darling...
Horrid!
Well...
I'm nearly freezing.
Yes, all right. We should have brought some blankets.
You wouldn't think of that beforehand.
Well, there were so many.
Leave everything up to me.
Well, perhaps there's some in the plane.
It's too dark to see.
Yeah. Here, take my coat, dear.
And have you catch pneumonia?
I have a blanket.
Lucky guy.
Yeah.
The women can share it.
Really?
Yes.
Thanks.
Here you are.
Oh, my foot!
Sorry, Mrs. Tillman. It's
everything so dark. Happens to me.
Oh, come on, Mrs. Tillman. We'll wrap it around our legs.
Arthur should have thought to bring one for me.
Oh, thank you, Mr.
It's okay.
Well, we're still lucky in the rest.
You said
getting
it.
Out of China now.
And this disgusting slaughter.
The Chinese have a right to decide who they want to govern them.
You know very well their peaceful means, Arthur.
Everyone is not an idealist like you, Ma.
No.
Well, what do we care anyway, as long as it doesn't affect us?
It will.
Not me.
No.
My business is better than ever.
You'd sell to either side. Doesn't make any difference to you.
Well, that's playing it smart, right, Jim?
You like the Reds?
Well, never gave it much thought.
I hate them.
Oh, what was that?
It hit an air pocket.
Rough weather.
This is the most terrible plane I've ever been in.
Well, we couldn't be sure.
You could have seen to it.
It'd be better now that daylight is coming.
Oh, yes, it is getting light.
Yeah. Now we can see who we're dripping over, right, Jim? Well.
Dr. James Guilford.
I knew his voice was familiar.
You should have told us. Well, Doctor.
I say, Pete, are you returning to the States?
Well, don't think so.
You'll have a great deal to write about, Betty, when we get to Japan.
Yeah.
It'd be fascinating business, being a newspaper woman, I mean, sometimes.
What are you going to do, Arthur?
Well, I haven't completely made up my mind yet.
Well, I got a spot I've been thinking about.
Oh, yeah?
Should be a great place for my business.
Well, where's that?
Pete?
Yeah?
There's another plane over there.
It's coming toward us, I'm sure.
Probably a nationalist. Let's go.
No, I can see the markings.
Well, we're still over the mainland.
He's signaling. Is that what he's doing?
Yeah. Oh, dear, he's going to run into us.
Look out!
Oh!
It's all right,
dear. Well, how do you know?
He's coming back.
Yeah.
Ow!
He hit.
I don't know. Here, help me.
Dr. Guilford.
Take a look, Doc.
All right.
Is she...
has fainted.
Not hit, huh?
No.
Oh, Maud. My dear. Maud.
We're going down.
Yeah, we got her.
But they gave us clearance.
I'll see if there's any water for her, Mr. Tillman. But the situation was suddenly very clear to Jim. As soon as the others thought they needed him, it was a different story. Forgot how they'd acted when they first recognized him. Like he was going to rub off on them. But Jim couldn't blame them entirely. He felt it wasn't enough to just admit to himself he'd made a mistake in throwing his life away. He had to convince the others somehow. And Jim knew it was going to be a tough job. After they landed on an airstrip, they were crowded into a small shed while Pete Vicker went off somewhere to find out what was wrong. Jim was over in the corner by himself when Pete came back and the rest mobbed him.
Well, what's up?
Who'd you see, Pete? Are we going on now?
Take it easy. Take it easy. I couldn't find out anything.
What?
Just checked our papers.
Who did?
Some general.
Well, there's nothing wrong with our papers.
Well, it didn't seem to
be.
Well,
can we go on now?
No.
What?
Not yet, anyway.
I trust you told him he had no right to detain us.
No, I didn't.
Wouldn't do any good, Maud.
But we were promised safe passage, right?
And we're safe, so far.
Arthur?
Yes, sir?
You go see this general.
Oh, but dear...
Tell him you shall protest to the American embassy.
I'll be sent.
You heard
there
me.
There aren't any embassies here, Mrs. Tillman.
I don't care.
Well, there's nothing we
if
could...
If you don't, I shall.
You'll stay right here.
I'll do nothing of
you
the
heard
kind.
Me.
Well, of all the nerve.
I just don't understand.
Just a
cigarette,
what
Doc.
What are you down for? Oh,
thanks.
Might as well relax.
What's up?
Who knows?
They
yeah.
More
like
hospital.
Did Pete ask him if we could go on?
Yeah, no go.
Oh.
Wouldn't give a reason.
Typical.
Yeah.
No rush.
None.
You ever know an Oriental that didn't take his time?
Nope.
Something we can learn from.
What?
Patience.
Oh, that's true.
There's always plenty of time for everything.
You think so, Doctor?
Yes.
Well, maybe that explains some things.
What?
Oh, nothing, Jim.
It's a hard lesson for Americans to learn.
You have?
I hope to.
Know something, Doc?
Well?
You and I ought to have a long talk sometime.
Oh, I have had too much publicity already.
Mm-mm. This would be strictly off the record.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't think you'd be here.
Oh, Mr. Tillman.
Sam Stockport.
Gilford?
You all Sam him follow?
No. I'm James Gilford.
You go along come with Ho Sang.
Where?
General Fu Wong. He wants you he met talk.
Why?
He say bring you.
Tell him I don't want to see him.
What's do?
That's what you think.
Well, not for
you refuse? Yeah?
You'd better go, Jim.
Why?
You know why.
You're crazy. You gotta go.
You cop.
Let me go.
You'll get us all in touch, Doc.
I don't want anything to do with these guys.
It's probably just something he wants to check on.
You can't accomplish anything by resisting them.
No. Go on, Doctor.
Maybe we can get away from here, then.
You come, no?
Okay. I still don't like it.
Offering doctor, General.
Won't you be seated, Doctor?
I'll stand.
As you wish.
What do you want?
You Americans.
Well?
Always in a rush to get to the point.
Anything wrong with that?
Well, that depends on the point of view.
There's no sense wasting time.
No. You are a doctor.
War is better.
You studied medicine.
Yeah.
The knowledge remains?
Sometimes.
You are a brain specialist, to be exact.
How'd you know?
Your reputation is well known to me.
Yeah, to everyone.
True.
How'd you know I was on the plane?
We had word to permit your plane free flight.
Which you haven't done.
Also true.
And when your superiors find out...
They shall do nothing. Your attitude is not understandable, Dr. Gilford.
What do you mean?
You have lived several years in my land of your own choice.
So?
Yet you seem not to like us.
Just those you represent.
Oh. Well, that makes no difference.
What do you want?
An operation performed.
Then you don't want me.
I do.
I haven't practiced in years.
Yes, I know.
You know a lot.
Thank you.
Then you know the life I've led doesn't help you to be a skilled surgeon.
Perhaps. Sometimes thoughts of what may happen otherwise can cause one to be successful.
What do you mean?
To fail would prove disastrous.
What kind of operation?
An extremely delicate one. To relieve a pressure upon the brain.
Who's the patient?
Myself.
No.
You refuse?
Yeah.
Sang.
Let go.
Stop.
I won't stop.
You will reconsider?
No.
You're being very foolish.
Maybe.
None of your fellow passengers shall continue their journey until the operation is done.
Doesn't worry me.
It might not be safe for their persons to remain with my troops for a long period. They do not care for Americans.
You got my answer.
You have no feelings for them?
Let's say I feel stronger about something else.
I understand.
Good.
You are stupid, Doctor.
Maybe. But I'll win in the long run.
Really?
Yeah. I've been sizing things up while I stood here.
So?
I can see what condition you're in. One arm paralyzed. Slowly advancing.
You are smarter than I suspected.
You'll be dead in a week. Then we'll go.
Insolence!
Get yourself another doctor, one of your own.
If there were one, do you think I would have bothered with you?
No.
You have a special skill.
So I hold all the strings.
Not all, Dr. Gilford. You can be persuaded.
Yeah.
Sang. We have our methods, Doctor.
No good.
Sang. Pick him up, Sang.
No.
This is not one of our more subtle methods, Doctor, as you no doubt know.
No good.
I have little time, Doctor.
I have plenty.
You will operate.
I wouldn't help if you were the last.
Thanks. You will not speak so to me.
I killed you with my own hands first.
I'll remember that, Doctor, when you perform the operation.
Don't hold your breath.
My men should be properly informed in case anything should happen to me.
You might as well get it over with now while you can enjoy it.
Take him out of here, Sang.
Yeah.
To Donjong?
No, Sang. Take him back to his friends.
Huh?
Make sure they know why they are being held, Sang.
Oh.
I'm sure he will find their company most comforting.
Got it all figured. Haven't you?
General Wong knew the others better than Jim did. At first, they were embarrassed because he held their lives in his hand and they tried to cover it up with unsubtle cracks about Jim doing an operation. But as the hours wore on,
they started getting restless, cooped up in one small shed. They gathered in a tight little group and whispered, looking at Jim Guilford. Finally, Maud Tillman couldn't restrain herself any longer.
We can't stay here forever just because he won't do
no.
it.
No.
Dr. Guilford.
My answer is no.
But what right have you got to refuse?
My own.
Well, you've undoubtedly had much worse patients.
So what?
I don't see why you should be so particular at our expense.
I don't care what you think.
They'll kill us.
He's bluffing.
He threatened that?
Yes.
Oh.
He wouldn't dare violate the orders of his commanding officer.
Well, it's a simple and logical request he's made of you, Doctor.
No.
I thought that a doctor pledged himself to save lives, a sacred obligation.
I'm not a doctor anymore.
You can do it?
No.
Why?
None of your business.
Well, if they're going to bump me off, it's my...
You'll die before then.
Is that serious?
Yes.
We got a right to know why. You won't?
Yes, we...
I won't do it, that's all.
Why?
You must know I made myself a promise.
And we get knocked off because you made yourself a promise.
You wouldn't understand.
You're going to do it if I have to take it.
Let go of me.
Who do you think you are?
Let me go.
You crazy...
Right, you won't get anywhere this way, Peach.
Yeah.
You're not going to get anywhere anyway.
Why, you...
Shut up!
General Wong, want you answer me, the doctor?
It's no.
He said, take women in half hour. You not do it.
No!
He can't bluff me.
You say no?
Yeah.
In half hour.
Dr. Guilford, certainly you're not...
Let me alone.
I'm not thinking of myself. But the women, you can't let them...
I can't help that.
No?
No. Besides, I don't think it'll come to that.
Well, we can't take that chance.
Listen.
Were you ever married, Doctor?
What's that got to do with it?
Were you?
No.
Then you wouldn't understand, but...
Leave me alone.
I just...
I don't want to hear any more about it. Leave me alone, do you hear? Leave me alone.
I'm sorry, Jim.
Hmm?
I said I'm sorry.
You're going to try and change my mind, too?
Nope. Just thought you might want someone to talk to. Cigarette?
Thanks.
Haven't got a match.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You think I owe him anything after
Don't
the...
Don't talk about it.
No, I want to talk to you.
Okay.
Do I owe them anything?
I don't think that's the point.
What is?
They're frightened now. Nobody looks good when they're frightened.
No.
But it's more than that.
What?
Do you owe it to yourself?
What do you mean?
Look, I've heard a lot about you, Jim. Most of it was bad, but some of it was good. Let's say you don't do the operation, and somehow or other we get out of this. What's that going to do to you as a doctor?
Oh, it isn't that simple.
Well, now it's my turn. What do you mean?
We may all die anyway.
Why?
You don't know what the operation's like.
No.
It's serious, difficult.
Well, of course.
You could die on the table through no fault of mine.
All he's asked is that you try.
No.
More?
Yeah, he's fixed it so that if he dies, we get killed anyway.
But he can't expect
it. So I won't deliberately get rid of him.
Oh. Whatever you decide, Jim, I'm not afraid.
Half hour is up, Mr. Doctor.
What do you mean? It hasn't been a half hour?
He says half hour. Take women.
Oh, no!
Oh, no. Wait.
You do operation, Mr. Doctor?
I'll try.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
We'll never forget this,
Doctor. Thanks, Guilford.
Yeah, yeah. You shouldn't have come, Betty.
You couldn't do it by yourself.
No.
Got everything you need?
Yeah. Will you be able to take it?
I think so.
I knew you would see it my way, Dr. Guilford.
Yeah. You ready?
Of course.
Okay. Help him on the table, Hosang. Okay, now get out.
Thanks, Dad.
He'll disturb the doctor.
He is my insurance, miss.
Yeah.
Hosang has been fully instructed what to do if there should be an accident.
Sang do, General.
There's always a chance that this thing might go.
We'll see that there is not, Doctor.
But he can't...
Hosang?
Yes, General.
My own gun shall dispense the justice. You may start.
Hold this mask, Betty.
Okay.
Pour some ether in. There. Now take deep breaths, Wong.
Yes.
He's under, Jim.
I'll check him. Yeah.
Stand back, Sang.
Sang, watch.
What's first, Jim?
This.
scalpel.
This one?
Yeah. Preliminary incision.
Easy, Jim.
Hmm?
Your hand's shaking.
I don't know, Betty.
What?
I'm not sure.
You'll do all right.
I'm shaking too much.
Why, you stop.
How do you expect me to do anything with you poking that gun in my ribs?
Why do you want to look at you?
Betty.
Steady, Jim.
I can't do it.
Yes, you can.
I don't remember. I'm not sure.
Take it easy.
It's been so long.
Think.
I know you.
What's first?
Betty, I can't.
You have to.
My hand. You go on.
Oh, stop hanging over the doctor's shoulder.
Song say you
Oh,
go
shut
on.
Up. Come on, Jim.
No.
What's first?
I can't.
Jim!
Okay.
Better. Now let's go on.
Yeah, all right, Betty. Preliminary incision. There. Sponge.
Right.
That's good. Clamp. No, okay, I'll do it. Sponge.
Mm-hmm.
Clamp.
Yeah.
Sponge. Clamp.
Okay.
Sponge. Clamp.
Mm-hmm.
Sponge.
All right.
Clamp. Sponge. Clamp. Wipe my forehead, Betty.
Okay.
Good.
Pulse is dropping.
What's it down to?
62.
Be through with the suture in a minute. Scissors.
Right.
There. Pulse.
60.
Take off the mask.
Right.
Mechanics waste.
Right.
There. Bandage. No, that's it.
Hmm.
Can you get your hand under his neck?
I think so, sure.
All right. That's good. Elastic bandage.
Right. Can I hold up his head?
Yeah. There. That's it.
I told you could do it.
Yeah.
Haven't lost your touch.
I gotta sit down.
General.
He can't talk to you, Sang.
General.
Leave him alone.
It was successful, wasn't it?
I can't tell you.
How soon?
When he comes to, if he does.
General, eyes not open.
He hasn't come out of the ether.
General, you know, breathe.
Let me see.
What's wrong, Jim?
Nothing. He's just breathing easier.
General, die.
No.
General, die.
No, Sang. He's just breathing.
No trick or sound.
You're nuts.
You kill him.
Put that gun away.
We kill you. Come.
You can't leave the general now, Sang.
He dead.
No.
Go.
Better do what
Move.
He says.
No, but he...
Maybe we can stall for time outside.
Move.
What was that?
The general. You hear him, Sang? He's alive.
General.
He's going to be okay.
Oh, not dead.
We're all set to go, Jim.
Where are the others?
What did you expect? They're all in the plane.
Oh, sorry to keep you waiting.
That's okay.
I had to leave instructions for the general's care.
I told them that. Hop in.
And Betty, thanks a lot.
Don't thank me, Jim.
Hello, everyone.
Well, I do.
Going at last, huh, Pete?
I understand, Betty, you're planning on going to South Korea from here.
Jim.
That's where I'm heading.
Really? Well, we're going there, too.
Oh, that a fact?
So that's how it is.
Please, Jim, listen.
I should have known. Well, we're just trying to...
Come on up forward.
Huh?
Come on.
We're just trying to...
I know.
wasn't worth it.
Yes, it was.
All they were thinking about
was... Think of what it did for you. Where are you going, Jim?
I don't know.
Well, when you get there, will you let me know?
What? Yeah. Yeah.
Starred as John Steele on this transcribed adventure was Don Douglas, with Ross Martin, Adele Saul, Joe Helgeson, Connie Lemke, and Earl George. And of course, all names and characters heard are fictitious, and any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. But here again is John Steele.
Well, friends, that's it. The Honorable Ones. The story of a man who learned that friendship is sometimes the masquerade of selfishness. A few months after Jim had returned to the States, he hung out his shingle again. And Betty Lavin wrote one of her best feature articles, The Story of Dr. James Guilford. Well, this is John Steele. Be around next week, huh?
This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
John Steele, Adventurer, on Tuned to Yesterday, from 1950 on Mutual Radio. And that does it for this hour of Adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. It's been a pleasure.